Well, my name is Conrad Mbewe. I'm a pastor in Kabwada Baptist Church in Lusaka. And it's a joy for me to have the opportunity to be with you this weekend and later on to bring God's word to you. I've been delighted in having the opportunity of having these two men here preaching back home in Zambia in our church. And so this is very much like a reciprocal visit. And I trust that it will knit our hearts together in the Lord's work and for His glory. The presentation that I have, I'm hoping that we can divide our time in this way, that I'll quickly go through it in, say, about 30 minutes. And then allow for another 10 minutes of questions. I'm sure there are some things you want to know that will not come to my mind as I'm taking you through this. And then hopefully at the end, one or two people can just pray for the Lord's work in Zambia. I trust that's fine. Okay, first of all, it's where Zambia is. Oops. How's the view there? Okay. So I'm sure with your pastors coming over to Zambia, that should not be any new information. It's somewhere between the equator and the Tropic of Capricorn in the southern part of Zambia. And then just a very quick sweep of our history. The first missionaries, Baptist missionaries, came to Zambia in 1905, and that was Phillips and Masters. They were both from the UK. In fact, Arthur Phillips was sent out under the ministry of Charles Haddon Spurgeon as a missionary out to Africa. And then 1916 was the first Baptist Church building, and that's the one on the top there. It wasn't exactly that way when it was initially built. It had a thatched roof, but that's when they put on the metal sheets. 1953, we had the first three Baptist pastors ordained, and those are the ones there in that bottom picture. In fact, the gentleman seated was the first Baptist leader. He, by 1934, he was already in the leadership of the church, and he's called Paul the Leper because he, in fact, was a leper without hands and feet, and that's why he's seated there. And then 1964, Zambia became independent. This is the longest serving Baptist missionary in Zambia, and that's Olive Kerry Dock. She came in from South Africa and labored from 1916 to 1972 when she died, and she's buried in Zambia. Then the Zambian Reformed Baptist Movement itself, initial efforts started in the early 1970s. I've just come across that information very scantily, so I don't know who was involved, but what I was told was that it came to an early end when the individuals were excommunicated from the church, and consequently it came to nothing. However, under the ministry of Joseph Fukwe at Lusaka Baptist Church, the ministry itself lasted 10 years, from 1979 to 1989. He had an expository preaching ministry that he grew up in when he was brought up in Scotland. And so out of that ministry, a number of young people began to read books, and especially Banner of Truth reprints. I recall that when I became a Christian and got baptized in that church, consequently joined that church, he was in the book of Romans, And I found him in chapter 5. About 3 years later, when he reached chapter 8, my own theological position had been drastically transformed. And because he was quoting a lot from Lloyd-Jones, from individuals like Charles Hodge in terms of their commentary in Romans and so on, we, being university students, we thought let's get to the original writings themselves. And so we began buying the books and reading for ourselves. In the second half of his ministry, by that time a number of members who were university and college students had been posted all over the country because we were on government scholarships, although I myself was on a mines scholarship. As these people were going into these working situations and failing to fit into churches, they consequently began to send complaints back to Lusaka Baptist Church, and that's when Lusaka Baptist Church urged them through its eldership to simply start churches, get together and start churches. And that's how the spontaneous planting of churches under what then was called the Baptist Urban Outreach. So the word Reformed hadn't come into the picture. However, that whole phenomena really began with what was then called the LB sites. And I've mentioned there 1984 to 1989. What basically happened was that a number of us who were students at that time in the mid-80s and were about to be posted across the country realized that those who had left Lusaka Baptist Church prior to that time and got posted out were not really having fellowship together, mutual encouragement, in order to foster the things that they had come to believe. And so we thought, well, let's begin to do that. And so we formed what was called LBCites, which is really LBCites, and LBC being Lusaka Baptist Church. And so we began meeting once a year, and that's the period from 84 to 89. And in the simplicity of our understanding, because of our reading, especially of the evangelical awakening under individuals like George Whitfield, we were saying that we'd be meeting to remind ourselves concerning Calvinistic Methodism. That's the way we called it. And then, as these churches therefore started and began to look for pastors, this little group of people became the fishing pond from which they started calling pastors. And I was the first one called to pastor Kabwata Baptist Church, where I still am, and then a few others started coming in. Some of them your pastors would know because they've been there. In 1990, we started, LBCites closed down primarily because a number of us became pastors, and it simply made sense that instead of meeting in some kind of clandestine grouping in a corner somewhere, we could in fact form a conference under the oversight of our churches. And so that's how in 1990, we began the annual Reformed Family Conference and School of Theology. One of the reasons why we did that was because none of us at that stage had undergone any formal training, and we were very young, all of us in our mid-20s, and then starting this Reformed movement, there was a lot of malice and slander and just warnings coming to our own church members that we were going to lead these churches astray. Reformed churches abroad were closing down, the evangelism will die, and so on. So we just felt the need to bring pastors from outside Zambia, older than us, pastoring churches that were indeed still strong and ongoing to come and preach the same things we were preaching, and then to answer the fears of our own people, which worked wonderfully. And so that's one of the major advantages that this conference had. Then we moved from the more spontaneous planting of churches to a deliberate strategy. And so we basically aimed for all the provincial capitals so that each one of them would have a Reformed Baptist Church. And I will be showing you later that there's only one provincial capital in Zambia that presently doesn't have a Reformed Baptist Church. And that was by sending men to go and plant churches. And then also we began to send missionaries outside Zambia for church planting. And an example there is Botswana. At the moment, we have about 31 Reformed Baptist churches in the country, and that's some idea of where the churches are. Perhaps I just need to mention that, first of all, you have what is called the Copper Belt here, which is where you have a number of fairly big towns together. And as you can see, a lot of arrows are pointing in that direction simply because that's where you have quite a number of our big towns. And then you have a railway line that comes all the way from South Africa through Livingstone, through Lusaka, through Kabwe, and into the Cobo Belt. And again, you can see that that's where quite a number of the arrows are pointing. Again, when you have a railway line, you generally speaking will have some big towns there. The eastern side as well has begun to have quite a number of arrows, as you can see there. The reason is that I would safely say the only full-time Reformed Bible College is situated in this town here called Petauke. It's not Reformed Baptist, although in terms of its doctrinal position, it has the 1689 Confession as one of them, but it also has the other Reformed confessions. I sit on its board of trustees and consequently have closer dealings with a number of their students. And as a result of that, therefore, I'm sort of sitting at the finishing line. And when the students are going through training and are coming out on the opposite end, those that are showing real signs of commitment to the Reformed Baptist tenets are then set aside for church planting. And that explains again why you have so many churches on this end. The rest of the country is fairly sparsely populated as far as Reformed Baptist churches are concerned. Now, these are just some pictures of some of the churches, and the basic thing I want you to notice there is the unfinished church buildings, because all these churches started in the last 20 years. So you've got Evangel Baptist Church in Lusaka, Mount Makulu Baptist Church in Lusaka, Kafue Reformed Baptist Church, which is the town just south of Lusaka, and then you've got Trinity Baptist Church in Livingstone. Berean Reformed Baptist Church, that's not really their church building, it's a meeting place. And also Trinity Baptist Church in Kitwe, again, it's not their church building, it's simply a place they are meeting in. Both churches are hoping to, in due season, find land and begin building. Emmanuel Baptist Church in Impika, that would be really in the northern part of the country, almost on its own. They are presently meeting in their auxiliary building here, but as you can see, if your eyes are like that of an eagle, they've begun putting up the main auditorium. Then you've also got Bethel Baptist Church there in Kabwe, which is the town immediately north of Lusaka. Then you've got Central Baptist Church in Choma. That's about 3 hours' drive south of Lusaka along that railway line. Again, you can see the buildings there still unfinished. I could talk about the bottom two because the Copperbelt Ministerial College, in fact, meets in this building here, which is the auxiliary section of the Grace Reformed Baptist Church building, which is slowly going up. Thankfully, in Zambia, you don't wait until everything is finished. You've got an approval from the council in order to begin meeting in a building. Otherwise, half of our people would be living under the wide open sky. So generally speaking, once you've got four walls and a roof, you move in and then you slowly finish off, and in due season go to the council, they come and inspect, and they finally give you your paper. But they'll never come and check you out because you are in an unfinished building. It would be politically very difficult for them to do. And so that's how come even our own church, Kabwata Baptist Church, we have a finished building now, but in 1997 when we moved in, it was again just four walls and a roof and dashed in. And then we've slowly been finishing off. And then Central Baptist Church, they presently meet in a makeshift structure, but that's the building that is presently going up, and we trust that in due season they will also be able to finish it. Pastor Kabwe is there, and Pastor Cholwe Mwetwa is there, and both of them are prominent leaders, especially in the Copperbelt, which is where we have quite a number of cities together, and also in the Copperbelt Ministerial College. We have a few more buildings. I think these are the last ones I have on my PC. There is the Central Baptist Church in Washa, which is on the Copperbelt as well. And then we're presently working towards finishing that building in terms of at least putting a roof so they can move in. I'll talk about that later. And then we have Chipata, which is on the extreme east of the country. If you walk just a few kilometers, you go into Malawi. Theirs is the most, impressive building that we have among our churches. And I've put it next to our most rural Reformed Baptist Church. As you can see, it's written on it, Saved by Grace on one side, and Chitabe Reformed Baptist Church on the other. If you stand up in the building, you probably hit your head against the roof. And then we also have John Lang Reformed Baptist Church in Lusaka. A number of these are vernacular speaking churches, and these two are, and then most of these others would be English speaking. Then what I've done here is just shown the status of buildings. Now, the reason why I've done that is because I present this around the churches in Zambia, in order to make us as Zambian churches realize where one of our major challenges lies. And that's why I've said at the bottom, but together we can do it. In other words, we do have a common building fund that's been useful in helping our churches to put up their building, and I'll come to that in a moment. So the only churches that have complete buildings are three. And in fact, Lusaka Baptist Church has just pulled down their building because it's become small. So they're presently meeting in a tent, and they hope in the next 2 years or so to slowly put up something that will accommodate the whole congregation. So we are back to two churches there. Then you have approximately 12 churches that have no buildings whatsoever, simply because they don't even have a place to put up a building. Then you have those that have begun building, but the fact that there's no roof on means that they can't move in yet. But you have another 12 that have got four walls and a roof, and they've since moved in, and they're slowly finishing off. And generally speaking, our concern tends to be here. So you remember I mentioned Luansha, that we're presently thinking about putting up a roof. We have just, using our common fund, given Trinity Baptist Church in Livingstone enough money for them to put a roof on their building. These are still raising their walls. So once they put up a roof, that's it. We move on to another one. And then they will slowly finish that process. It makes a lot more sense in Zambia for me to go name by name, because our people know one another, but it won't mean much to you if I go name by name. But there you have the status of the churches with respect to pastors. And as you can see, the Lord's been very gracious in that He's given us the soldiers. And although most of them are missionary pastors, in other words, they are still in the church planting phase, and those churches have not yet reached a point where they have their own elderships, so that they can then in turn either call the same person laboring there or call someone else, and consequently have a full-time pastor there. And then we only have seven without pastors, and even that one, you'll notice the third from the bottom, Emmasdale Baptist Church. While I've been here, I've received notice that there will be an ordination, in fact, induction service for Isaac Makashini. He had been here studying for his master's, and then he's just recently come back. This is a picture of a recent missions conference at Kabwata Baptist Church, and at a certain point was the end of our conference. We called all the missionaries that were in the congregation forward, and the gentleman praying there is one of our elders at Kabwata Baptist Church, praying for these men before they go back into the field. Although we don't yet have a formal association, we have a lot of activities that we do together. Partly, we are like one family because we basically have one source in terms of the Lusaka Baptist Church background. As the work progresses and grows, and as time passes, yes, we are having people coming from elsewhere But because they're still somehow linked with the rest of us, we're still very much one family, and we are hoping and praying that that sense of unity will remain. I've already talked about the annual Reformed Family Conference and School of Theology. It's slowly been growing. We're presently having anything between 800 and 900 participants from different parts of the country, and it's now become a regional conference where we're having people, like last year we had from Malawi, South Africa, Zimbabwe, Botswana, Namibia, and Tanzania. Yes, we've had from Uganda as well. We've also had from Kenya. In times past, we've also had from Congo. So it's becoming a conference that's attracting people from the region in order to come and be inspired, encouraged, and go back with these truths that are surely believed among us. Then I've also spoken about the Zambia Reformed Baptist Building Trust Fund. It was started with the help of APCA some years ago after Ted Tripp and David Straub came to Zambia, saw the situation, came back and challenged the member churches here. They gave us, I think it must have been about $36,000. We have a subscription approach where our churches are giving monthly, dependent on how many members they have. And so the fund has now grown to about $61,000. And as the funds build up, then we give them to the next one in line to get them to move into their structure. And then they continue finishing off and so on. That has helped most of the churches there that you saw with unfinished building, but they are inside. Then we also have what we call Reformed Baptist Radio and Television Ministry that's been running radio programs and TV, not yet, because Lusaka Baptist Church runs a TV program, weekly program, and uses a number of us on that same program. So again, it's the same approach. The churches subscribe, individuals subscribe, and we've been paying for airtime. It's national broadcasting, and so we're reaching the nation with that. Recently, we started a National Reformed Baptist Youth Conference. It used to be for the Copper Belt only, but we felt the invitations were coming to the whole nation, therefore why don't we just acknowledge it? And so it's been running for 2 years now. That's the one you're seeing in the top picture there, though I'm sure you're just seeing some dark things looking like human beings. The bottom one there is the family conference. Then we have started regional conferences in 4 provinces. Basically, what we began to realize is that we're beginning to enter into vernacular speaking areas. And if we only have one conference where everybody's coming together and it's all in English, we're not really having the greatest impact. But if we can then go to those same provinces and preach these same truths in the language of the area, then that's having a multiplying effect. So we have one in the eastern part of the country. It's in Nyanja, which is the language of the area. We have one in the northern part of the country, and it uses Bemba as the area, the language there. We have one on the western side of the country. The conference is in Lozi, and then we have one in the southern part of the country. It is only going to start this year, and it also will be using the language of the area, which is Tonga. So we'll have each of these conferences using the same Zambian pastors, so we'll be preaching in English, but we'll be having someone translate all the singing, and everything will be in the vernacular. The discussions will be in the vernacular, and we're hoping that that way the Reformed faith will be getting further and further into the areas. Then we've also got a magazine called Reformation Zambia. It started about 3 to 4 years ago now, and circulates in Zambia primarily, but we also have an agent in America, another one in Australia, another one in the UK, where circulation continues there. Half of it, our pastors write articles on a theme. The other half is basically news. It was meant to be a handmaid to the conference, because we only get together once a year, and we hear news about one another, but it was felt that we've got too huge a gap in between. So by getting this magazine going, it's meeting the various needs. Now, if you speak about a Christian magazine in America, so yeah, that's one of those things. But it's the only Christian magazine in the whole of Zambia. In fact, when I went to meet a printer over it, the first thing he said to me is, look, forget it. Magazines don't work in Zambia. Forget it. Well, now when I go in with the latest material for printing, you can see the smile on his face that this one is continuing. Well, I did say to him, we do have a reading constituency, so let's see how things go. We have a preacher's college, well, two preacher's colleges. One, which has been the longer one, is in Lusaka, of which I am a part, and then the other is the more recent one on the Copper Belt, where our brethren here have been doing a commendable job in bringing us lecturers and really helping us. And then finally, we are in the process of commencing a Reformed Baptist Churches Association. Very quickly now, that's the only provincial capital that remains without Reformed Baptist witness. And every year when we meet for our conferences, we challenge one another that provincial capital needs to go down. And hopefully one of these years will come with the good news here that we have managed. This is Brother St. Luca Kapambwe. He was, in fact, the one who started. We sent him out to Botswana to begin the first Reformed Baptist Church there. And right now, he's in the process of moving to Namibia. A number of brethren who used to be part of what was called the Evangelical Bible Church in Windhoek, began to attend our conference in Zambia. By the time they came to the third conference, they knew that reformation in their church was completely impossible. So they moved out and have started Grace Reformed Baptist Church. And they've issued a call to him. So most likely, beginning of next year, he'll be moving into Namibia to get a work going there. Malawi, which is now on the eastern side of Zambia, an American missionary went to Zomba to plant a church there. And it wasn't long before he realized that he needed some local input, and consequently made a Macedonian call. And consequently, this brother here, Percy, and his wife Betty moved to help out, and we are presently processing them so that we formalize their missionary pastor status as they are laboring there, so that they are accountable to our church. All I would like to say about Zimbabwe is something you probably know. The situation there is next to impossible. in terms of how to help the brethren. There is a Reformed Baptist Church in Harare, here, which is the capital city. But logistics are next to impossible because of the completely unfair situation there. So do pray that the situation in Zimbabwe will improve, and consequently we'll be able to do a lot more there. In Botswana, after Nsenduluka planted the church, a Swana, in other words, a national of that country who was pastoring a Southern Baptist church, resigned his pastorate and came, traveled all the way to Zambia and said to us, please, just send me back my own people to plant a Reformed Baptist church. At that time, he was pastoring here, and consequently, he's since moved down to Gaborone, where he has taken over that same church. And then we have a Zambian family in Francistown who were once members of Kabwata Baptist Church, and they're getting a second church planted there. And then we have a third church that has begun in a town called Orapa, somewhere here. So we presently have three Reformed Baptist churches that have begun in Botswana. All right. Just six items there. The first five are for prayer. I normally end this way when I'm doing the presentation, even back home. The first is praying that God will help us to keep working together in unity. We've enjoyed this up to now, but we know that must never be taken for granted from what we know from other countries. Pray also that God will give us more pastors. We do have a number of men training in our preachers' colleges and also in just basic preachers' classes in our churches, that God will mature them and so that they can be sent out to fill in the gaps. Pray that God will give us a passion for evangelism. We live in a day of opportunity back home in Zambia. Pray that God will enable us to appreciate that and to maximize on it. I was just sharing with my hosts. I'm not too sure whether it's my present hosts or the previous ones. I've changed homes so often the last couple of days. I'm forgetting where I'm sharing things. Soon after I get back home, we will be doing outreach work at the biggest agricultural and commercial show in Zambia. We've been renting a stand for the last, I think, 8 to 10 years and giving out literature and evangelizing and so on. Well, last year we decided, because the thing runs from about Thursday up to Monday, that on Sunday morning we will, in fact, conduct a church service at the show. And when, at the beginning of this year, we hired our stand and then told the show organizers that this is what we're planning to do on Sunday, they said, no. We will give you the main arena. That's where you can have your worship service. Now, that's what I mean by having a day of opportunity. That's when the news got back to the church, it drove us all to our knees because we just don't know what the Lord will do. People are open to conversation, and the it's a day that we need to maximize on. Then also pray that we have the finances to put up buildings, as you say, it's an ongoing activity. It's almost like chasing a galloping horse, and whether we'll ever catch up with it or not is another story. Pray that our church will take the work of missions more seriously. At least Lusaka Baptist Church and Kabwata Baptist have begun having missions conferences. The reason being that the pastor of Lusaka Baptist Church has been exposed to the outside world in terms of speaking at missions conferences, and I've been exposed to it, and just realize what potential we ourselves have in terms of the work of missions. And so pray that this will have a rippling effect in all our other churches so that we maximize on it. And then finally, ultimately, fellowship is about keeping in touch with one another and therefore praying for one another. And I trust that although I normally share this back home in Zambia, it makes sense even here to say that let us keep in touch. All right, I've overshot by 3 minutes, but that means if you have any questions, you have approximately 7 minutes. Anything? Yes, brother. Yes. Yes. No, no, no. What's basically happened with time is that all of them have moved, these pastors. They've gone on to do other things. And we are now the senior pastors in the country. So the situation has changed. It's a little more difficult for someone now to say, you know, these young men will lead you astray. We'll say, which young men? Because... So I think that's basically what has happened. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes?
You mentioned that you don't have as many vernacular pastors. I mean, is that one of the things you're asking is to raise up men who can speak the languages in those four areas? Is that the shortage?
Well, the problem is not language. Because, you know, for instance, I speak two other languages other than English. My mother's language and my father's language. Okay. So that's not the real problem. I think the basic problem is you, as you go further afield, you are moving from the city town context into the villages, and that's something that's still foreign to us as Zambians. That you will send a missionary from your town city church to go and plant a church in a village. It's still a gap that we haven't crossed. So that definitely has to be there. At the same time, we have men in those village situations who are listening to us and are interested in what's going on in our circles, but don't know how deep their understanding of the Reformed faith is. And consequently, you're not too sure that you want to get them to lead a work until you're fairly comfortable. That's where having a preacher's college like the one in the eastern side is helpful, because these students are in for, I think, 2 years. And once you are listening in, the lecturers there will tell you, now, he's a good guy. You know, you can't miss the fact that the Lord has his hand on him and he's got a real reformed convictions and so on. But in a lot of these other places, we don't have that kind of facility. There is a college up in the north that has since invited Ronald to also become part of it. So we are hoping that once he's involved with that, that will also open up that entire area. Yes. Yes. Yeah, I think it's a bit of both, because on the one hand, as church leaders, we ourselves are saying we need to plant churches. And also we have places and countries that are priority. So we are challenging our people to seriously consider going to those places. But secondly, we are having individuals that are coming to us and saying this is a representation of what they believe, this is where they would like to serve, can we send them there? So it's a bit of both. But ultimately, we don't necessarily wait for a nucleus of people to be there before we send someone. A lot of these works are started from scratch, completely. We send somebody there. First of all, he rents a home, gets a student into school, finds his way around. And then on a particular day, we send like 100 of our members there wearing T-shirts that have the name of the church and with literature and also just introducing door to door that we are starting a church here and, you know, this is the man we've sent here. So that way, by the time we go back, he's been introduced to the area as he goes door to door meeting people. Oh, yes, you know, some of your people came and they told us about you and so on. But he basically is starting from scratch.
Slow because of a lack of money, or is it because of a lack of skilled workers and materials, or is it a combination of all three?
No, it's primarily lack of finances. I would say, I think the word we use back home is liquidity. Okay, so the finances are there, but they're trickling in slowly. I remember joking with the church at the end of last year. We were just about to put up an auxiliary building, and I said to them, brethren, I've got good news and bad news for you from the Lord. I don't know which one I'll start from. And I said, let me begin the good news. We have found all the money that we need to put up the next building. The Lord has provided. And there were smiles everywhere. Then I said, now let me bring the bad news to you. The Lord says the money is in your pockets. Okay, so can you please have it so that we put up the building? So yes, it's the rate at which, because people are getting it literally out of their salaries. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does the American money go further? I mean, how much does it take to put a roof on, and, you know, on some of the buildings that you're close to doing it? Is that real expensive, or is it? Would our money go further?
Yeah, let me think in terms of US dollars now. An average sized building, which is what we really think, you know, four walls and a roof, something that's going to be like up to that wall from here straight with a roof on, would probably cost now there must be some mathematicians here. If we can divide 100,000 by 35. What kind of figure will we get, roughly? $3,000. So I would be saying approximately $30,000 US would probably complete. Would probably complete that simple structure. But depending on where the church will either be smaller or bigger. But that's just some rough estimate. Okay, the last question. Yes. Yes, that's a good question. One or two people asked me about that. In Zambia, yes, the Muslims are coming in. They're putting up schools, putting up clinics, and if you are Muslim, it's free. But it's not just free, you also get free clothing. And if you are not, you pay so much. And obviously, in a poverty-stricken environment, people will convert to Islam primarily because of that. However, relative to the coastal countries, the number of Muslims we have in Zambia is insignificant, I say relative to those places, because largely the Arabs who brought Islam settled in the coastal countries. So if you go to sort of Kenya, Tanzania, Mozambique, coming down to South Africa, and particularly on the eastern side, that's where you have a lot of Muslim influence. However, it's clear that they are strategically aiming for other places where they don't have as much influence. And that's the approach they are using. Because of that, therefore, most of the people who are Muslims is just skin deep because of the benefits they're getting. But no doubt, especially those that they bring into their schools and they indoctrinate them from the time they're very young up to the time they finish school, yes, those end up coming out militant Muslims. Good. I'll hand back to you for prayer.
All right, let's have a time of prayer, and then those of you who have a desire to seek the Lord on behalf of the work here can pray one after another, and then I will close.
Our Father in Heaven, we do thank you for this report that you brought to us this morning. And Father, we do pray for our brothers and sisters there in Zambia. Our hearts go out particularly to this place, Solwezi, the last provincial capital there in Zambia that does not have a Reformed Baptist witness. Father, we pray that you will send men to that location. We pray that you will raise up a church there and that you will have your church there to proclaim the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray, as our brother has asked in that last point, for the communion of the saints, that we can talk about the spiritual communion and we can appreciate that spiritual communion. But Father, there's also a physical communion here in this world. And so we pray that they are able to communicate with each other. But we also pray for our own benefit, for our own stirring up, for our own desires, that we would establish communication as well with those churches in Zambia. And Father, that you would make a network so that the world would be astounded at what you're doing with your churches. Father, we pray for this country. We thank you for the encouragement. We pray that you would give us some of the same heart that they have for their many countrymen to the left and to the right, to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ, the praise of his name, we ask it. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we pray for our brothers in Zambia. We pray that they would grow in their passion for you, the passion for the lost, Lord. We thank you so much for the unity that's evident among our brothers and sisters. And we do ask that their unity grows and they develop more ties with each other, that they would that would not overshadow the love they have for you, the focus they have on the person of Jesus Christ, that would be the soul binding principle beyond all the other intricacies of developing churches and the ties that grow between families and among various churches from an organizational perspective, that you would keep their hearts focused on the goal at hand. Thank you for the encouragement this brings to us and the good ideas even this brings to us. We also pray, Lord, for the pastors that you've given wisdom and the people that you've given energy as well, as they move from primarily urbanized locations to more suburban and really rural areas, that you would help them. It's a challenge, Lord, for them, and we ask that you would help them to meet that challenge, to expand outward into really the villages and sparsely populated areas. We thank you, Lord, for these men and women, and we pray that this would only serve to strengthen our ties with them. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we do ask again that you would keep the brethren and the pastors humble, that they would love one another, and that your Holy Spirit would comfort them and strengthen them. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray that you might move upon the many churches, especially in this land where you have blessed us so much in material things, and Father, that we might prayerfully and humbly and joyfully and generously, Lord, consider allocating more funds, Lord, to the churches there, to our dear brethren there, that they might not have to meet, Lord, without a roof over their head or without light, without, Lord, basic sanitation, Lord, things we have in abundance here we truly do take for granted. We just assume it's always going to be here. And Father, we pray that we would, Lord, in our abundance, have be cheerful givers to your glory, to Christ's honor, and to the benefit of our brethren who are desiring to work so much for the Lord and to advance the gospel, the kingdom, to build the church up there. Father, may we be the tool, Lord, that is put in their hand, Lord, with material resources as well as spiritual. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Gracious Father, we thank you that you have sent your Son and the victory is already won.
Amen.
We thank you that you have set your King on your holy hill and that man nor man's sinfulness, nor no buildings, nor buildings at all will stop the plan that you have set.
Amen.
Help us all here and there to communicate the eternal things that man could look beyond himself and beyond this world to live in the eternal perspective that you have put in our hearts by your Son's work. Amen.
Amen.
Gracious Father, we ask that you would please raise up men to be good pastors, that they would understand the importance, as Pastor said, about sending them to the villages and meet the people there that are living in darkness. Lord, we thank you for what you've been doing and passing along the faith and reform and doctrine, and we pray that you continue to do that. Please strengthen the brother. Please do raise up pastors that are strong and willing to sacrifice for this world for the next. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Lord God, we praise you so much, Father, for your gracious kindness extended to this nation, that just within a couple of generations you have raised up solid churches proclaiming the name of Christ. Father, we thank you that you are showing these people your gracious salvation in Christ Jesus. We pray, Father, with our brethren there, that you would establish the church in the province of Sulawesi. Father, that the name of Christ would be called on there and preached for generations to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our Father, we thank you for good news from a far country, which, as you have said in your word, is like a cup of cold water on a hot day. Lord, we pray that these things would stir our own hearts to be earnest in seeking the lost and in being involved in the effort of spreading the gospel. And also, Lord, that these things would just be a beginning. And as our brother continues to report, if he would here in 10 years, he could report of many more countries reached with the gospel and of many more churches planted in Zambia. We pray that you bless the labors of our brethren there to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.